So that's a piece titled Dana's Theme, and that is music from the Ghostbusters soundtrack score. The film starring Bill Murray, Rick Moranis, Sigourney Weaver, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Harold Ramis. The film was directed by Ivan Reitman, so a few Canadians in there, Canadian connection. The music you just heard was composed by the legendary Elmer Bernstein. And he penned so many epic films like The Magnificent Seven, The Great Escape, The Ten Commandments, but also hilarious comedies like Airplane and Meatballs and Ghostbusters, of course. And it became an iconic 80s soundtrack. Ghostbusters in Concert will take place at the Sony Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Conductor Peter Bernstein is the son of the film's Academy Award-winning composer, and he has reconstructed the score for this special event. And Peter Bernstein is here in the new Classical FM studios. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Great to have you here. Why do we love this movie 35 years later? Why does it endure?
This is not the first time I've been asked this question. And honestly, I have to search for an answer. I
feel like sometimes comedies, though, don't stand the test of time.
No,
something changes about the humor, what have you. So, but for some reason, this one
and this
remains.
This one lasts, I think. Making a movie is a series of decisions that you have to make along the way, and sometimes everything goes right, and this was one of those times, as far as I can see. And the themes, you know, love, it's a love story, it's a ghost story, it's an end-of-the-world story.
Right.
That endures.
It does. You just walked in right now from our parking lot, and I think you saw a Jaguar coming.
Yes.
And you were saying that your dad drove the same car.
He drove the same, an XK140 maybe, I think it is. I have a lot of memories of being in that car in the 50s.
Your dad was a very busy man. What was it like growing up beside Elmer Bernstein?
Felt normal to me.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Aside from the Jags and...
Yeah. Well, it was a car. You know, I my life was unusual now that I understand, but
sure.
At the time, going to recording sessions, I'm told that when he was practicing conducting, I would stand next to him and do the same thing.
Right.
I don't remember that.
I'd love to see a whole movie of that.
Yeah, fortunately, this was before YouTube, so right. you won't see it. But it felt completely normal to me, and I went to school with the sons of many other Hollywood composers.
That's often the case in that part of the world.
It was a very small school, and Jerry Goldsmith's kids were there, Alex North, Ernest Gold, Fred Steiner.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What a group of people. You know what strikes me? I mean, first, there's the sheer amount that he did compose. When you look through the records, it's just so many films. But it does jump from The Magnificent Seven, The Great Escape, to Kill a Mockingbird, to, you know, Slapshot, and Airplane, and Meatballs. He just had this ability to imagine the soundtrack for big dramas, but also to be playful enough for 80s comedies when they came around. Spies Like Us, Blues Brothers, Ghostbusters. What allowed him to do that, do you think?
I think, well, let's start with he had a pretty good sense of humor.
Sure, that's nice.
So that's necessary. But aside from being a gifted composer, he was a gifted dramatist. He understood film drama and how it worked and how music could work with it. So I think in his core, the act of writing music for The Ten Commandments and for Ghostbusters really wasn't all that different. It was a different set of problems, but it was a problem of figuring out how the music was going to work dramatically with the material, and that he was very good at.
It's interesting. I had Howard Shore in here not too long ago, and he talked, you know, same idea, right? You know, one day he's working on Big, and then the next day it's Lord of the Rings, you know?
Yes.
So that is just the job, I suppose, and we put these things into genres, but when you're a musician, you just take in the ideas and...
Well, Hollywood puts these things into genres, and
sure.
as well as my father went through periods of time when he was typecast. He wrote in 1956 the score to The Man with the Golden Arm, which was a groundbreaking, hard-driving jazz score, the likes of which had never been heard before, and suddenly he's getting all these offers to do jazz.
Uh-huh.
Now, he was a trained classical pianist.
Right.
That was his first career aspiration, was to be a concert pianist. And suddenly Hollywood wants him to do jazz. He had to fight that.
Let's focus on Ghostbusters. What was your dad's intention with this score? Do you remember seeing the film with your dad? What was your experience with
Ghostbusters? Well, I was one of the orchestrators the film.
Of course.
So,
right,
yes, right. I saw the film. His intention, like all the comedies, starting with Animal House, this amazing run of comedies he did for 7-8 years, again, was to serve the drama musically. And if he could throw in a few musical jokes along the way, he was always happy to do that.
Right.
If he could get away with it. Sometimes he went over the edge, but he loved doing that kind of thing. So in Ghostbusters, more than any of those films, he was walking a tightrope between the comedy and the drama and the ghost story and, oh, yes, the world is ending. So there was all that stuff happening at the same time. So when you score a scene between Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver where she's possessed, how do you score that? Is that dangerous? Is it eerie? Is it funny?
Yeah.
It's a tightrope.
When Zool is around, how does that sound? Right?
And yes, so on. Exactly.
So tell me about the process of reconstructing this for the purposes of what we're going to see this weekend. What did you need to do to make this happen at the Sony Center?
When I first got the call to do this, I went to look at the original score, the original paper that we brought to the studio to do the recording sessions. I'd forgotten, 35 years past, a lot of what happened in the recording. But what did happen was you would start with a piece of music. Ivan Reitman is sitting to my right.
Right.
And my father's out in the recording room conducting the orchestra. And changes start to get made because it should be like this or can it be like that? And, oh, yes, we have a song here, so it needs to end in a certain way and then connect with this other piece of music. So the paper that I got was really just no more than snippets that needed to be strung together again and reorchestrated because the live orchestra is different than the studio orchestra.
Of course, yeah, just different muscles and different sense of pacing and place and all of it, right?
So I had to touch every note. Plus, there's a few pieces of music which didn't make it into the film, which have mysteriously reappeared in the live version.
I love it. Tickets, by the way, at sonycenter.ca, Ghostbusters in concert at the Sony Center tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m., and conductor Peter Bernstein is going to be there conducting. And just congratulations on this project. It's been really fun to spend a few moments with you.
Thank you. It's really fun to present this music in its big, awesome, in-your-face form.
Let's listen to Ghostbusters, the main theme.